Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Tuesday, November 8th, 2016. Thank the Lord there's not another one of these days or years for another 4 years, Al.
Well, you never know.
4 years. Well, that's true, too. That's true.
As strange as this has been, I don't put anything past them.
That is very, very true. Well, we had a mixed bag in precious metals today. All the white metals were up. Gold was down. Gold's down by 570 in the aftermarket. New York spot at 1276.50. Silver is up 16 cents at 1842. Platinum was up another $3 today at 1005. And palladium again was up another 1.5%, up 10 at 665. The USDX today was stronger by 0.22. At 97.94, crude oil was down just a tad, down 0.04 at 44.85. And the paper markets today were positive, of course, well, with the follow-through from yesterday. The Dow was up 72 points, 18,332. The NASDAQ was up 27 at 51.93. And the S&P was up 8 at 21.39. 10-year yield 1.86%, up 0.03. The euro 110. And I just want to take a peek. And the fear index is beginning to move up. Remember, we hit those 13 and 14 levels. We're at 32, but you would think with the 400-point rebound on the announcement that they're going to drop the investigation into Hillary Clinton, you'd think that fear factor would have moved up at least to neutral. So the election doesn't seem, whether she becomes the next president or not, doesn't seem to be taking a lot of fear out of the markets. It's still there. And right, there should be. Because, folks, it doesn't matter who really gets elected. These markets, and we're not going to go into that. We go into that almost every day. It's nothing new. We're going to talk about some news reports. And it was really hard to find news today because everything is all focused, of course, on the election. But we know where the market is headed. We know where gold and silver is headed. We know where the paper investments are going, and we know where the real money is going. So it just depends on where you want to be. Which side of the trade do you want to be on? So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. We got some great prices with a little bit of pressure, down another $5 for gold today. So we got a lot of fractional 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles running today. Great price. Great price on those today. They're standing by on the phones just waiting for your call to lock in those prices. I saw one report, Alfred. Let me see if I can bring this up here quickly. Banks are warning their clients. We talked about this briefly last week, but they're warning their clients to brace for Forex FX volatility after the U.S. vote. This is coming out of London. It's Reuters by a Patrick Graham. As the world is all focused on our election, I saw one report, Al, from, oh, it was a business fan, probably on one of the financial news programs, saying that he was over in, I don't know if he was Japan or China. Yeah, I know they're two totally different places, but in an Asian country. And he says he couldn't talk business. He said he had to leave. All they wanted to talk about was the election. And so certainly the many eyes are on this, our election. But Patrick Graham out of London, Reuters, major banks have formally told clients to expect volatile currency markets in the aftermath of Tuesday's U.S. presidential election, with a gap between buying and selling prices that determines the cost of trading expected to widen sharply if Donald Trump were to win. The warnings issued by the electronic trading platforms run by the market's largest players, Citi, and rivals Barclays and Goldman Sachs, seen by clients of the banks, have over the past 2 years become standard red flags ahead of big political and economic set prices. That's a little bit called, wouldn't that be a little bit of inside trading, Al?
Maybe. I don't know whether it's inside, outside, or...
Well, here's warning, you know, let's get you protected. But issued broadly for the first time since Britain's vote to leave the European Union in June, they are a measure of the scale of risks being attached to today's election. A number of retail currency trading platforms have already raised margins. Clients must hold against open currency bets for fear of a sharper move in the dollar and the Mexican peso. One Goldman Sachs client said the bank told clients on Monday it would not accept new stop-loss orders on the peso until further notice. So this is what's going to happen. This is a prime example, folks. They just change the rules when it suits their needs. Mm-hmm. You're going to be heck out of luck, because they'll just increase margin bets. They'll raise your margins. You're not going to be able to put new stop losses on your. So this is what's going to happen to you in a market, in our next market collapse. Both Citi and Goldman Sachs declined to comment. Barclays is always available for clients during events, blah, 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 blah. There was another, and I shouldn't say blah, 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 blah. Someone told me not to say blah, 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 Al.
That depends on whether it's a month with an R in it or not. If it's a month with an R in it, you shouldn't. But if it doesn't have an R in it, it's okay.
Okay. Maybe we should reverse that since this month has an R in it.
Yeah.
How about that? Okay.
V.
So, again, people are being warned. Investors, clients of the big banks are being warned and how they're going to handle any big losses. So... this is what you can face in the future.
Well, you know what's interesting? What crosses my mind, you're talking about, you're reading from an article that's predicting a little bit of what will happen if Hillary, and depending on whether Hillary or Trump is elected. And I'm curious what you think about this. I mean, which one do you think is most conducive to inflation? Which one do you think is most conducive to deflation? You have
I don't think either, because I believe we will have, they both have big agendas to fix the infrastructure. Yes, even with, if you're tax cutting, even if you bring jobs back, you cut corporations' taxes, even if you patriate some of that money back into this country, we're still deep in the hole. and fixing Obamacare, fixing the vets, fixing our military, fixing this, fixing that. It's all dollars being spent that this country doesn't have if those programs actually get done. Building walls, and yes, I understand the trade agreements can be renegotiated where we can get some of those trade gaps back in this country, but you're still going to see a major increase in inflation. At one point in time, Democrats were always better for gold than Republicans. I don't see that anymore because they're both the same. And even though we have a different view from Mr. Trump, the programs and what they want done, we're a country that's bankrupt. There's only so much you can do with it. You're going to see inflation in this country because we are a fiat currency system.
And the inflation reduces the real size of the government debt.
And
the government is so deeply indebted, it's either got to, sooner or later, it's either got to come out and flat out say it can't pay the bills, which means they admit they're bankrupt, and I don't think they want to do that, or they have to inflate in order to reduce the real purchasing power of the dollar and reduce the real size of the national debt. I think we're ultimately headed for inflation and hyperinflation, if only to accommodate the debt.
But it doesn't matter which one.
I'm just saying which one. There's, to me, it's just an interest. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? It's an interesting philosophical question from my perspective. I look at Trump, and he's going to make America great again.
Takes money.
I wonder if he can make America great again without deflating the dollar and making it more valuable. I'm going to guess, and that's only it is, and I'm just throwing this out again, how many candidates can dance on the head of a pin. I'm going to speculate that Trump is going to be a little more conducive to deflation, while Hillary, who was apparently, you know, the beloved daughter of Wall Street, they're going to probably want inflation to stimulate the economy. I think Hillary is perhaps more inclined to cause inflation from the get-go. Trump, he might precipitate a little bit of deflation for a moment, but I don't know how. I'm just saying tendencies.
You have to have tendencies. You have to have a how. And I'm not an Indian chief, how.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the system is... It is what it is.
Oh, I think we're going to wind up going...
And we are going into inflation. I can't see... I mean, a lot of our inflation was sent out of the country to China. You know, that's why we brought all their little cheap trinkets.
It'll be coming home.
And all that's going to be coming back. So, I don't see anything.
Our health costs. Which way is it most likely to go? I'm not saying that Trump is going to cause a deflationary depression, but I'm saying if I had to make a choice, which one is most conducive to inflation, which one is most conducive to deflation, I'd say Trump maybe deflation, Hillary definitely inflation. That's the way I'd kind of look at it.
Well, again, you're going back to the Republicans and to the Democrats. Yeah, Republicans usually will try to cut back, they'll cut, you know, taxes, and they'll cut back on the budget and so forth. They don't spend as much, and blah, 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 where Democrats usually do.
There's an R in the name of this month, Melody. I thought we explained that to you. I mean, it was just a couple of minutes ago.
You're not paying attention
to the rules.
I changed that.
Uh-huh.
I changed that to the month with the R's. Just like oysters.
Here's the problem with the inflation-deflation scenario. If we go into serious inflation, particularly if we go into hyperinflation, and that's where government probably wants to go, the Federal Reserve has caused inflation. They've caused the dollar to be devalued by inflation by at least 95% since 1971 when we completely went off the gold standard. All right, they want inflation. They tell you we got to have inflation. All right, they want 2%, maybe 3%. They want inflation. Odds are We'll watch and see, but odds are they'll get what they want. If they get inflation, the dollar's already lost 95% of its purchasing power in the last 45 years or so. How many more years can the dollar last when there's only 5% of that purchasing power remaining? They're going to cut it down. Inflation, and particularly hyperinflation, will destroy the dollar. All right? But deflation, on the other hand, increases the value of the dollar and thereby increases the value of the national debt. If we had 20% deflation, in theory, the real size of the national debt would increase from $20 trillion to, fifth of that? $24 trillion. All right? Now, the numbers wouldn't change. Nominal number would remain the same at $20 trillion, but the purchasing power would go up to $24 trillion. The point is, deflation makes the debt bigger. It is anathema for debtors, and the government is the biggest debtor in the world. They can't withstand deflation. I don't think so. So the point I'm trying to make is, if we have deflation, the government goes down. If we have inflation, the dollar goes down. One of them is going down unless they can maintain the balance right about where it is right now. And we don't get any more inflation. We don't get any more deflation. It has to stay right about where we are right now. And this is a little like kicking the can down the road. We've heard the analogy for probably 5 years or more. That government is just trying to kick the can down the road. We don't deal with the problem because we can't. We only postpone dealing with the problem by kicking that can down the road. So my main point on this is that regardless of whether we go into significant inflation or significant deflation, something is going to break. Either the dollar dies under inflation or the government goes bankrupt under prolonged deflation, which is going to be in either case. Gold is a good idea. All right? If the government is going to go into bankruptcy, I'd say you want some gold. That will be a crisis. If the dollar is going to die, you're definitely going to want some gold. That'll be another crisis. Now, it's not going to happen next week. We don't know how soon this will happen, but from my perspective, we have painted ourselves into a corner where there is no comfortable way out, and the only thing they can do, it's like Yosemite Sam, for those of you that are old enough to remember the old Looney Tune cartoons, Bugs Bunny and Looney Tune, and Yosemite Sam is sneaking through the room full of lions, all right? They're all asleep, and he's trying to tiptoe through, and Bugs Bunny drops an alarm clock on a string down into that room, and then the alarm goes off, wakes up all the lions. They come after Yosemite Sam. Yosemite Sam is trying to maintain quiet. He's trying to keep things just the way they are right now, and if he can succeed, he won't get chewed up by the lions. Our government is like that, in my opinion, right now. If they can continue to maintain things just where they are, we don't get into too much inflation, don't get into too much deflation, if we can stay right about where we are, they can drag this out. But they still can't get away from these two inevitabilities, or these two possibilities. One or the other is going to happen. It's like flipping a coin, but which one? Go into serious deflation, we have a depression, and the government goes bankrupt. Go into serious inflation, we have hyperinflation, and the dollar dies. Which one are we going to get, Melody?
Well, you just told us, Al.
No, I did not. All I told, the only thing I'm telling anyone is you can't say blah, blah, blah in a month with an R in it. That was the one.
Surely. No, now, one thing you're not listening to me. Months with the R's. I can't. Like oysters. You can eat oysters with months with R. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's how we're going to play that. And
how come you get to set the rules and I don't?
I just got this email, and it's about Friday is Veterans Day. And I believe it would be across the country about Applebee's and Golden Corral websites that they have free meals for veterans. Applebee's, with veterans being on Friday, let me see. Golden Corral is Monday the 14th for free meals for veterans. So if you're a veteran and you're listening to the program, if you go, take an ID to show that you were a veteran. And I think that's very generous of those to companies to do that. So I just wanted to share that. And Applebee's
okay.
and
makes,
Golden Corral.
It makes having months with ours work really worth it. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials, and Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Many, many people have experienced the benefits of drinking all-natural Life Change Tea. The unique blend of 8 herbs helps detoxify your body so you can live a healthier life. Numerous testimonies have been given about the benefits of drinking Life Change Tea. So, are you drinking Life Change Tea? Interested? Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Many are so impressed with our product, they order a year's supply. And why not? When they do, they receive 2 months free. That's a $70 savings. The body is meant to heal itself. Sometimes a body just needs a little help. Get the tea at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. This is not an ordinary green tea and is not available in stores. This tea helps with digestive problems, acid reflux, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and as talk show host Jerry Doyle says, it'll make you as regular as a baby bird. Enjoy your life. Get Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, I got a really little special for you guys today. It's Election Day, and I mentioned the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, and we're also going to include the Christmas Silver Eagle sleeve. The Merry Christmas comes with a 1 ounce 2016 Silver Eagle. Has a little snowman on it and says Merry Christmas. It's a great little stocking stuffer or a gift. You can wrap it up and so forth. And it includes that and includes your shipping for $184. So your 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles, they are also dated 2016. Your Silver Eagle will be dated 2016. And the total cost with your shipping and the sleeve with the Silver Eagle is $184. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. We're still working on the redesign of the website. It's looking pretty nice. It takes a long time because it's, you know, not one of our top priorities. And it's very nice if you... You know, if things don't work once we make the announcement, make sure you let us know so we can fix things. Technology, things always happen. So I'm excited for the new website. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter. And I've noticed in the past couple of weeks our newsletter action is quite it's getting
active.
Some hints. Yes, it's getting quite active. So,
well, that's good. An article here from, ultimately, it was based on an interview at King World News. Former Soros associate just warned hyperinflation will send the world into chaos. Vincent Sperando manages a $3 billion hedge fund, has been in the business for 45 years, and has worked with famous individuals such as Leon Cooperman and George Soros. I don't know who Leon, he wasn't famous enough to reach my level of comprehension, apparently. Leon Cooperman is not famous to me, but Soros is. In a recent interview, Mr. Sperando said, he said the days of low interest rates are over. All right, we've been down at near zero for 7-8 years now in this country. In some countries, they're down in negative interest rates. He says the days of low interest rates are over. There will be no more lowering of interest rates and quantitative easing. Still some leftover quantitative easing. England and the European Union still have some. But once that's over, that's it. The game is finished. It didn't work. So they're now going to fiscal policy and infrastructure spending because they believe this will keep them in power. Now, fiscal, of course, we've had monetary stimulus for the last 7-8 years because monetary stimulus is the jurisdiction essentially of the Federal Reserve, and it reflects interest rates and money supply, primary by adjusting the interest rates and the money supply. The Federal Reserve is theoretically able to stimulate or moderate the economy. Now, they haven't been too successful lately, but nevertheless, the monetary policy is the jurisdiction of the Federal Reserve. Fiscal policy is government, and it involves increasing or decreasing taxes and increasing or decreasing government spending in order to move the economy up, down, speed it up, slow it down. Mr. Sperandeo is predicting that they are now shifting to fiscal policy. I don't know that that's absolutely true. I don't know that there's much the government can do with fiscal policy. I don't know that they can do more than they've already been doing. And I would argue that some people have argued they've said the Federal Reserve and the central banks, they claim that they've done everything they can, and from here on out, there's nothing more they can do with monetary policy, and it has to be the government's obligation to stimulate the economy with fiscal policy. But the government, and they present this argument as if government has not been doing anything for the past several years to stimulate the economy. But insofar as government spending is one of the attributes of fiscal policy, and insofar as the Obama administration has doubled the national debt in the last 8 years, or very nearly, all right, that's evidence of deficit spending. That's evidence of borrowing close to $10 trillion and spending it into the economy. And that is fiscal stimulus. All right? Insofar as the central banks have sat back and said, oh, we've done everything we can in monetary stimulation, we can't do any more. Now it's up to the government to step in and do something after just sitting on the sidelines for the past 7-8 years. The government hasn't sat on the sidelines. The government has engaged in fantastic, unprecedented fiscal stimulus by deficit spending. They've borrowed close to $10 trillion to spend into the economy. And my point is, the argument that we're going to give up monetary policy can do more, no more, that's probably true, but the expectation that the government is going to do more through fiscal policy strikes me as improbable. It's not impossible, but it strikes me as improbable. Where is the government going to borrow even more money? I mean, sooner or later, someone's going to say, you know, I don't think that government can pay its debts. I don't think I want to lend any more money to the government because I don't think it can pay the debts it has right now. How is it going to pay my debt if I lend them another million or 10 million or 100 million? How will it pay that debt back to me? I don't think they can. I think this is something that's got to be crossing creditors' minds. And I doubt that government, I don't know that it can even keep up the spending rate that it's had, the deficit spending rate that it's had over the past the last 7-8 years. I don't think that can be sustained, which tells us something. It tells us that if the Federal Reserve is telling the truth, and Mr. Sperandeo is correct that there's not going to be any more low interest rates, and there's not going to be any more quantitative easing where the Federal Reserve injects currency into the economy, if monetary spending isn't going to stimulate the economy, and if it's true that the federal government has been doing all it can, how can it do more than what it's done in terms of deficit spending in the last 7-8 years? How could it do more? It's doubled the debt in the last 7-8 years. Can it do more? Shall it triple the debt? Shall it quadruple the debt? How much deeper in debt can we go before somebody says, you know, this deficit spending isn't really providing too much stimulus? It may be keeping us, preventing us from plunging into a national and global depression. You know, it may be that it's having an effect, but it's not providing much stimulus where you can sit back and say, boy, is the economy ever taking off. And if monetary policy hasn't done it, and fiscal policy hasn't done it for the past 7-8 years, what's going to do it next? The answer is nothing. It implies that we are probably headed for some sort, and there's at least a good probability that we're headed for something like a national and global depression. Mr. Sparendale continues. He says last week Larry Summers said the Federal Reserve has to give up their independence. He said the Treasury has to effectively sell to the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve will print the money and return it to the Treasury. This prediction is evidence of monetary policy, not fiscal. All right? On the one hand, Mr. Sparendale is saying, look, it's up to the government to increase fiscal policy, and I don't think it can. And he implies, at least, that the monetary policy will no longer work, and yet he says the Federal Reserve has to give up their independence. They have to, the Treasury has to sell to the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve will print money and return it to the Treasury. I mean, to me, this is a certain amount of nonsense. It implies that there's going to be more monetary policy from the Federal Reserve to stimulate the economy. I don't think they can. We'll watch and see. But he continues. He says this multi-trillion dollar scheme will be the pure printing of currency. But the theory is that because people don't directly get that currency, it won't create hyperinflation. But when this begins, it will signal the return of serious inflation. Mr. Sparendale, he is predicting we are headed into hyperinflation or at least serious inflation. If multi-trillion dollar printing does happen, you will get a huge amount of government spending that is going to juice the economy. I don't know about that. Again, that both the government and the Federal Reserve have been working, doing everything they can to hold this together for the last 7-8 years. I don't think they can do any more than they've done, and what they've done so far has not been particularly effective. He says this will be a prelude to hyperinflation. Hyperinflation is going to be a coming world event that will be the beginning of the end for the U.S. dollar, which is what I was talking about and trying to explain earlier. If we go into hyperinflation, the dollar dies. If we go into deflation, the government dies. Something's going to go down. Something is going to perish, and whether they'd rather see the government collapse or the dollar collapse is an interesting question. My guess is they'd rather do the hyperinflation and get rid of the dollar. Sparendale continues. He says, if you remember, gold was the hedge fund against serious inflation in the 1970s. In fact, from 1970 to 1980, gold compounded at a staggering 31.5% a year. I have never seen anything compound over a 10-year period at that rate. That's astronomical. Just to put that in perspective, if gold went to $10,000 today, it would only have compounded at 22% over the same time frame. In other words, in the last 10 years, gold went to 10 grand today as compared to 10 years ago, it would have only compounded at 22% annually. Gold in 1970 to 1980 compounded at 31.5% a year. He says that's astronomical. Why is the date 1970 significant, Melody?
Why don't you tell us, Al?
Because 1971 is when they terminated, Nixon closed the gold window, and finally caused the dollar to become a pure fiat currency, and the result was gold went up 30% a year for 10 years. All right? Any case, today, Sparendale goes on, he says, today we have a global depression. And I agree with that assessment. not a global recession. I believe we have a global depression going on right now with the banking system blowing up. Look at Deutsche Bank. It has $46 trillion in derivatives, and the bank is only valued at $18 billion. That is insane. And then they have laughter. They have the laughter in parentheses. I mean, the guy says the bank is, it's got $46 trillion in derivatives, and the bank is only valued at $18 billion. I mean, it is insane. It is insane. I mean, it's like 1,000 to 1 practically. Between their value and their derivatives. It's just a madness. Regardless, gold will act as a hedge, and the price of gold will skyrocket because paper will be printed to the point where it's worthless. He's singing my song. As the hyperinflation unfolds, it will send the world into total chaos, and people will need to be prepared for that. So his prediction is we're headed for hyperinflation. I'd say that global hyperinflation offers at least 3 advantages for government. First, global hyperinflation will wipe out much or all of the world's debt simultaneously. Global. If everybody does hyperinflation at the same time, we can wipe out the debt simultaneously. Around the globe, it's going to be terrible for creditors, but people are going to be looking for something other than paper debt instruments. Second, global hyperinflation won't be understood by the average person. Right? Average person is not going to say, what the heck is going on here? How does this happen? And that means, 3, every government can blame its national hyperinflation on some foreign government or foreign institution or some sort of an economic problem that's not the fault of the government. Hyperinflation will be something of a mystery that won't be easily blamed on any government, and from government's perspective, that's a good thing. They'll be able to beat the rap. That's a little like, it'll be ideal for someone like Hillary. So it's not my fault. You know, not the government's fault. And of course it is the government's fault, because when they went off gold and silver backing the currency, went to a pure fiat currency system, they guaranteed that sooner or later, the debt would hit the fan. And to some degree, that's where we are now. We are close to that moment. So in any case, we were talking earlier about hyperinflation and deflation and so on. And here's a former George Soros associate who says, we're headed for hyperinflation that will send the world into chaos. I think he's probably right.
Yes, not only was he right about that, but he's also right about the price of gold will skyrocket.
I don't know.
Because the paper will be printed to where it's just, you know, nothing. And we've seen it time and time again. We've talked about this time and time again. And the only way to hedge yourself, folks, against that is by converting those worthless, soon-to-be worthless paper dollars and convert it to gold. That's the only, I believe, one of the few, if not the only item that will protect your purchasing power through these difficult times. That doesn't mean you can't do any other things. And someone asked me earlier this week, well, why do some of these people, that these analysts, these newsletter writers, recommend 5 and 10% of your assets should be in gold? And I said, very simply, because they have an agenda to sell you paper. That is why. All their arguments would lead you to believe that you'd want to be 100% into gold, physical gold, not paper gold. You don't own gold when you own paper. And many people believe they do. Many people believe that those paper gold investments will protect you the same manner that physical gold will, and they won't. You might have one or two if you're lucky. Do you feel lucky? Do you want to risk? And it's a matter of the amount of risk that you want to carry. Hey, if you're a big gambler and you want to risk it all, well, that's your choice. Most people that I talk to are conservative. They want to protect what they have. They don't want to have the high risk yields on the high risk investments that are promising 1,000% returns. They don't want to carry the risk, but they're not explained why the risk is there. They're just promised these They're just promised these huge gains. So be careful out there. You need more than 5 or 10% of physical gold in your portfolio.
The difference that we're talking about ultimately, when we talk about the difference between paper promises, paper and gold, we're talking about the difference between a payment, which is gold, and a promise to pay, which is paper. I promise you we will return after a couple more commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Folks, I'm Alfred Attisker with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. We were just talking about what happens. We're talking a little bit, we get this periodically, the difference between a payment and a promise to pay. All right? Would you rather be paid or would you rather have a promise to pay? Now, not many people really understand the distinction. If you have a piece of paper that is telling you, you have a dollar, a $10, $100, $100,000. Got a piece of paper that says $100,000. Do you have $100,000? And the answer is no, you do not. You have a promise to pay $100,000. The paper is all of it. I don't care if it's stocks or bonds, bank accounts, pension funds. Got a piece of paper, you have a promise to pay. Not all promises can or will be kept, and that's the reason why we tell you, you want to get a payment. I do not want an IOU. I do not want a promise to pay. I want a payment. That's what I want. And we as a people, we have been bamboozled into thinking, believing that when you receive a green piece of paper from the, that says Federal Reserve note on the top of it, that it's a payment. It is not. It is a promise to pay at best. And in fact, the law, they even say it's not a promise to pay, it's not redeemable. Used to be when they issued those notes and they were backed by gold or silver, they were a promise to pay by law. Our Federal Reserve notes are not redeemable any longer. You can't go up to the Federal Reserve and say, I have a $100 bill, I'd like $100 worth of gold or $100 worth of silver or whatever. The only thing they'll give you is a new and freshly printed $100 Federal Reserve note. It's not redeemable. It's not payable. The way it works is you accept those green pieces of paper, and then you go out and look, which is stupid, and then you go out because you know there are people out there that are even dumber than you and me, and they'll accept it from you. You get paid when you use that $100 bill to go buy a flat-screen TV down at the local appliance store. When you get something tangible in your hand, you have been paid. But paid by who? Paid by one of your neighbors. They're the ones who are paying your $100 note. The Federal Reserve and the federal government issues these pieces of paper, but they don't redeem them. They promise. It's by law, it's not a promise to pay, but it masquerades as if it was one. We use it, and our neighbors accept it, and that's how we get paid. But the point is, why should we accept our neighbor's payment rather than the payment from the government and or Federal Reserve that issued these pieces of paper? They should be paying. They're not. You know, most they give you is a promise, and they don't really even give you that. All of this is complex. It's hard to explain, and I'm sure it's hard to understand. But the point is, you must learn to distinguish between a payment, which is something tangible, and a promise to pay, which is merely a piece of paper. Especially in a world where there are so many promises to pay out there that they can't all be kept. What is a promise to pay? It's a debt. It's a debt. It's a debt. It's a debt. I promise to pay. That means I'm in debt, and you can expect one day, you know, I'll actually write a check that will clear the bank. You are betting that my promise is good when you take my paper. You're betting that the promises that are implied, at least, in Federal Reserve notes are good when you accept that paper. I'm saying, and you know, you don't have much choice in this world, in our circumstances. I know we have to take these Federal Reserve notes, but what we are advising people is to get rid of them as quickly as is convenient, maybe as quickly as is possible, and convert them into something tangible. It is dangerous, in my opinion, to store, stack up, hoard Federal Reserve notes. Everybody's got to have them. But you don't need to have $100,000 in cash, in my opinion. You don't need $1 million in cash, in my opinion. You would be better off, if you've got that much extra cash, to put it into something tangible. And again, get away from the promise to pay, get yourself a payment. That's what we're talking about. It's one of the ideas that we're trying to sensitize people to. And make them understand, you know, it's risky. Doesn't mean the world's going to come to an end if you keep some Federal Reserve notes stacked in a, you know, stack of them in the house, but it's risky. And however much wealth you have tangled up in those pieces of paper are only promises to pay when the number of promises to pay is so enormous they can't all be kept. The debt can't be paid in full. Probably can't be paid by half, and in my estimation, it can't be paid by more than 10 to 20%. I'm going to guess that ultimately the average person is holding on to pieces of paper as their form of wealth. Those promises to pay are going to default probably 80, maybe 90% of them. And you'll be left with 10, 20% of whatever purchasing power you thought you had. You'll wind up with 10 to 20%. I can't tell you that's God's truth. I'm just telling you that's the way it appears to me, and I've said so for a number of years. To illustrate this a little bit, here's an article from Al Jazeera News from a week ago. And the headline was, Egypt Central Bank devalues currency by 48%. Egypt has devalued its paper currency by 48%, meeting an important demand set by the International Monetary Fund in exchange for a $13 billion loan over 3 years to overhaul the country's economy. What did they just do? They just wiped out 48% of the value of those paper debt instruments, those paper promises to pay, which I believe it's the Egyptian pound. And they robbed the Egyptian people of 48%. Those Egyptians who had their wealth stored in a piece of paper called the Egyptian pound instead of the, I guess, corresponds to the American dollar and so on. If they stored their wealth, they just wiped out. They just lost 48% of their wealth. And that's so far. That doesn't mean that that's all they're going to lose. They may lose more. There may be more devaluations coming. But this is the kind of danger that all of us face insofar as we store our wealth, our sweat equity, our work. All right? You went out, you worked, you put in effort, you thought, you expended physical effort, and you were given pieces of paper. You say, yay, I've got a stack of $100 bills. Well, you weren't paid. All you have with that stack of $100 bills is a kind of promise to pay. But you're not paid till you get something tangible. Could be land, could be a house, could be a car, could be a boat. And if you want something that's liquid and can be used as money, you want something tangible like gold or silver. Yeah? Well, if you keep your paper, you hang on to those stocks, bonds, pension funds, savings account books, physical cash, currency, you're in a situation very much like the people of Egypt who just had the central bank just devalued their currency by 48%. They lost half of their wealth. Understand? Bang! Overnight! Gone! This is the risk you take in this country insofar as you rely on paper. So, it's just a small story. It's not a big story, but it illustrates what can happen when you store your wealth in promises to pay rather than payments. We're telling you, if you have sense, you want a payment, get yourself a gold coin, get yourself a silver coin. That's a payment. You want to deal with paper, you run the risk of one day waking up just like the Egyptians did and find out your currency has disappeared. Your wealth stored in currency, gone. 48%. Disappeared. Bang. Goodbye. No.
Do you want me to leave? You said goodbye? Hey,
shall
there's
I...
been... Yes, Al?
Well, I didn't want you to leave. I was thinking
Well, I just wanted to on... This is the only website that I see this, and so I can't put a lot of faith into this, but the headlines on this is on the election. Hillary has PA. Trump is plus in Arizona, Georgia, Iowa, North Carolina, and Ohio. No word from Colorado, Florida, Michigan, or Nevada. The election will be decided by evening voters. So, but there has been a lot of strange reports already across. I know in Pennsylvania there was people who were voting, and they would pick the Republican to just hit that button to cover the whole thing, and it kept going to Hillary, kept going to the Democrats.
Yeah.
And they tried it three times. They called the lady over, and of course she blamed them. Oh, you have to be doing this wrong. You know, always blame them first. She did it three times, and of course it happened again. So there has been reports about these machines, and it's like, hey, folks, you knew the election. You couldn't test these machines first? Of course not. But and when I voted today, it's you really have no idea if your vote is truly counted. You fill in the little circle of who you're voting for. You slide it in. And it records, and a big thank you pops up. It doesn't even confirm to who you're voting. You can't even confirm it.
Yeah.
So I have one client. He is working actually with the local sheriff, and they're going to try to, in his county that he lives, I mean, it is after the fact and so forth, but they're going to do a little investigation. They're actually going to be counting, and they're going to see if they can't, find out, you know, just to see if it was 100%. And I'm sure not many people can have access to do that. But so
it's such a maze and a web.
Yes.
Especially when it goes computerized. It's an open invitation.
Absolutely.
You know, you see these stories on a regular basis about how someone hacked into Target. And they stole the names and addresses of millions of people. And they hack into some other facility. I mean, it happens.
Oh.
You see a significant report almost weekly that some outfit has been hacked and millions of names and identification and whatever have been captured. Well, Target and the rest of these people have fairly effective virus protection programs and firewalls and whatever. There isn't any effective virus protection program. There is no effective firewall for most of these computerized voting machines. This thing isn't... I know that there's some. It's not saying there's no such protection, but these machines become an open invitation to hackers to jump in and twist the election around. And one of the things that should come out of this election is that we should, the next Congress who comes in, somebody needs to just grab them by the shirt and say, look, we're going to change the election format, the formula, the procedure. It's going to be changed where it's not possible to steal elections. We want it done. If you want to ever get elected to another public office, you give us a voting system we can have confidence in. And if you can't do that, pack your bags and go to a country that doesn't have an extradition treaty with the United States. But something needs to be done about the election process in this country. It's clearly open to manipulation, exploitation, and it becomes, it's counterproductive to everybody. What happens if Hillary Clinton gets elected? I guarantee you she will never command the kind of authority we saw with Ronald Reagan, for example. Maybe George Bush or whatever, and I don't mean because she's not a Republican. I mean she's coming in. Who is going to believe, if she wins this election, who's going to believe she won it legally? Who is going to believe that she didn't cheat and steal the election from Trump if she wins? And what will her authority to govern be once she's occupying the White House? Will everybody say, that's okay? We'll take orders from a woman who stole the presidency? This idea that we don't have an honest election process is bad for every politician in the country because it diminishes their authority. If we can't have confidence that we have a straight election, we don't have any confidence in the people who've been elected. And they aren't, without that confidence, they are not going to be able to rule effectively. People are just going to thumb their nose at anything Hillary does, whether it's right or wrong.
And something else, when I voted this morning, I had my ID all ready to go.
Didn't need it, did you?
They asked me my name. They decided you had to give your date of birth. You had to give something else, your street address or something. And then you had to sign a little thing that you said that you told them the truth. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't. I said, well, why don't you just want to see my ID? Here's my driver's license. No, we don't need that.
Okay. And we won't need it from any illegal aliens. We've already seen where Obama has encouraged illegal aliens to go ahead and vote, and nothing bad will happen to you. Do you get that? The President of the United States is encouraging criminals who aren't even criminals, who've entered the country illegally. He is encouraging them to go ahead and vote and promising that there won't be any prosecution. And that's the President of the United States. And we are supposed to take confidence in this government and say, well, yes, sir, boy, whatever the President says and the rest of them, you say what it is and we'll just do whatever you want, whatever you tell us. No, we won't.
And even
I'm going to have a hard time thinking of a politician in the next 4 years that I can even imagine trusting. And it's going to be that way until somebody straightens out the voting process. We'll talk more about it. We'll see what happens in the election. Happy election, folks, if that's at least this campaign is over. And tomorrow or late tonight, we'll find out who won. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me.